You should know better. You're old enough to know better.
Now you're live. Good idea.
Yes,
because we have some back.
So people at home
can hear. Just talk a little loud.
Let's see.
Just hold on to that button. Come on yet?
Hello. Sing us a song.
Oh no, that would have been my sister. No, they right. They asked me politely to step down from the choir at church. That's pretty bad.
Sure. Okay. Bill, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Call this work session of Los Angeles Governing Board Commission to order this time. It is 1:03 on June 15th. Call this meeting to order. Please, Commissioner Hatcher, please lead us in the invocation.
Sir, Heavenly Father, thank you for our many blessings. Please meet all our basic needs and grants, favors we strive to return. Give us help, guidance, and safety as we go about our daily lives.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Commissioner Felix Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Haas.
Here.
Commissioner Luis Lopez.
I'm here. Any changes to the agenda?
No changes, Commissioner.
Any motion, please? Motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Commissioner Luis Lopez?
Yes. So on our agenda today, we are having discussions in person for the first time with our regional director, Ms. Tara Marshall. Good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Commissioner. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to address you and to have an informal conversation of sorts. I don't have a formal agenda items. The reason I wanted to do this listening tour is that it's been here since we've seen everyone in person. And with the recovery that's before us and the dollars that have been funneled for the federal and state agencies, I felt like it was important to get in front of the major jurisdictions in the Southeast and to hear what you're facing, to look for issues that cross boundaries, to understand if there are any issues particular to you, so that as I'm in my state meetings, I'm listening to what's being planned from that side or what might be available, that I can best come back to you and say, here's what I heard from you, here are things that I'm doing that might be the best way to respond. So as soon as I was cleared to travel and vaccinated in April, I started a listening tour and I met with every county commissioners here in my class. So my goal was to do it by June, couldn't quite get it on the schedule before today, but I'm glad to be here. I've met with all of the cities and the towns that sit as county seats. So 23 jurisdictions in total, 45 I worked with in the past 7 weeks. So my goal has just been to listen. I can provide you with some trends that I'm seeing across the jurisdiction. I have a little more information now about where the funding is going than I did in back county on 12th of April. So that was when I first started. I've kind of made a donut all the way around. I'm also excited to be in front of you for the first time in my new position. Because as you know, when I started in 2019, Clay Brown still covered Los Angeles County and Trinidad for the rest of 2019. So I was just getting assigned to work with you guys in 2020 and getting all that end of year paperwork done. And I started going on in February and COVID hit. And the state locked down on Friday, the 13th of March. So I've talked with you many times through Zoom. I know you all. I've talked with Phil quite often about a variety of different things, but I hadn't had an opportunity to sit in front of you. So I'm happy to be here. The reason they didn't have me assigned to Los Angeles and Trinidad was because of my 8 years in the city of Trinidad. They really wanted to make sure the rest of the region got to know me. They helped work with them for about 6 months, and then I started working with them. And then and Clay Brown was working very closely with them on a variety of different things. So, my first time to sit in front of two of you as the commissioners, so I'm happy to be here. So I guess I'm just going to turn it back over to you, and then I'm certainly happy to provide after you kind of fill me in on what you think might be an issue, and then we can talk about any Los Angeles County specific things. Then I'm happy to just talk in general about what's going on. And I have some ideas and suggestions for things.
Well, thank you for leaving the best for last. We always appreciate that. And that was a humble statement. One thing that we are talking so much about is also as county and region and city, as you went through visiting with all the counties and municipalities, do you, and I like to see the trends because, you know, at the end of the day, we don't want to duplicate services. But with this pandemic almost behind us, one of the things that we learned that so many of the services that were not there actually surfaced, i.e. broadband. Mm-hmm. That has been one of the bigger things and one of the conversations that we have had here in Los Angeles County. We'd like to consider the opportunity to perhaps look at that as an opportunity, but also how do we partner with other counties to do that? Then we've had a couple of other brainstorming sessions. We also have heard along with the same thing is the opportunity to perhaps partner regionally, and I think Commissioner Tony has a little more information on that, but we also heard that one of the counties is considering on the ag perspective to looking at opportunities for a meat packing plant. And that is, I think Los Angeles County was one of the largest, or if not equally to the rest of our county, neighboring counties, beef producers, that could be another opportunity that right now is the time to come together and put the ideas and the funds together to impact our citizens, our communities. And last, and then as we go through the hour, I have a couple of other questions, but then I also want to know what, as I asked the same question of both senators and the governor, you know, the question is, what is happening, do you know, in the region for a bridge program this summer for K-12 students to remediate and kind of catch them up with the loss of productivity? I am eager to see the AYP, the yearly results for all the school districts in rural as well as urban and metro, because my concern is I hope we're not losing a generation and we're just going to advance them forward and there is no place for them to land. So kind of an opening statement of remark with a couple of questions in there, Tara, so thank you for being here with us.
Sure, may I ask one question? What is an AYP? Average yearly?
Progress, yeah, performance and progress, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What is it measured on?
It is measured on basically the level of attainment by grades, academically achievement based on reading, writing, and arithmetic for most of the students.
Through standardized testing? Yeah. Okay. I come from two educators, so I get that lingo. Yeah. Okay. We have someone on our, we'll get to everything, but there is a gentleman that serves on the energy and mental impact committee. His next name is and he runs the best program. And I'll reach out and email to him and find out, Commissioner, where that information can be accessed so I can get back to the Mr. Gordon. Since that falls out of the purview of DOLA, but I know where to go. So, sure.
Hi, Karen. Thank you for being here. Just like to remind the people that are out on the virtual world on the call. If you have any questions, Mr. Burnham is monitoring the chats. I believe you want to chat in or make a comment or a question to Ms. Marshall, please feel free to do so. Some of my concerns and questions too are similar to Commissioner Lopez and broadband, of course, one of the big ones. Mr. Bolton and I think they saw Bolton on the call, but we had a little working. Some of them for a year with multiple governments. We had the perfect time to get all of us together with the Bell study that was done for Highway 12. We're familiar with that. With that infrastructure being in place, hopefully the funding gets out for that. And maybe they can tie all that in together with some DOLA funding as well and CDOT. And now that this funding is coming forward, water and sewer is one of my other interests too, that when this ARPA definitions finally come forward.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, especially for our school districts. I don't know if they're going to be available or some funding will be available for our schools to upgrade their ventilation systems as well. I know possibly Primero, Homie, Branson, and Kim, Omega are probably, I think Primero's pretty sedentary, but some of our older schools. They'll be able to implement some of this funding for ventilation, because that way, if we ever come back to this type of situation, the pandemic of another sort, that was one of the big issues they had with spacing and ventilation for the students to be in class. And like Commissioner Lopez just said, that we don't want to see lose another generation if we've lost a generation in fact this time. So, well, there's some of my thoughts on moving forward today, getting some answers, and also not to the RBAC, but to the energy impact grants. Mr. Hass is on that board and appreciate his service there. But how is that going to be looking with oil and gas revenues increasing? And what is our funding? Have you guys put the pen to the paper yet? Possibly because when the gas goes up, usually oil will lose natural gas falls. So, that's what that's going to be looking like for grants.
Hi. I'll add the school ventilation question if I have this direct funding back to Mr. Stein. So.
Yeah, I would like to know. It's pretty covered pretty much all the bases, but the funding opportunities that might be available for ag and specifically for that packing plant. I think we have a unique opportunity to get up to that. Wouldn't just be more of a regional effort. And we'll be putting the order in Mexico also. And to add on to that, you know, could you explain to these gentlemen the impact score and how proven that is to getting those funds? And I know that Felix mentioned the lower elementary type schools, and I'm more concerned about our sophomore students and seniors that went through the COVID and how are they going to compete in college knowing that they missed out on their education.
Thanks for this. Yeah. Thank you. I want to talk about my packing first, if that's okay. Sure. So in my tour, I was in Cuyahoga County in Haswell. That's the meat packing plant there. 7 days a week. Back up 2 years. No housing, so they put it up for sale. And the gentleman that was running it was living with his family in a trailer. I think they've now secured housing for him so that he will not sell it, so it will stay. But one of the main things they're running into in workforce is housing. There's another one that's being discussed. That one's open. It's operational. There's another one that's being discussed in Flowers County. Plotterwood, Milkwood, and Lamar, and the wastewater. To be able to do an inspection looking down the road at Renan. And he's finishing his financing package now. Same thing. Standing list. When I was in Back County, one of the commissioners there told me it was like 2.5 years out. And then if an opening comes up, you just load up as quick as you can. So I think the more you come west, the lesser opportunity there is. Is the plant in Fowler still open?
Yeah, the book tag too. There is also ice running. Yeah. And so I can see the need for it.
For sure.
The wastewater treatment. I know that some of these smaller feedlots, they actually have what they call those lagoons.
Yes.
And there's an opportunity for that see the water source.
So most of the small communities, I think it's Colorado, works on that setting system. Why would they separate the other system right now? So you would be two choices, whether or not proximate to where you were trying to attract them, or where they were located, whether they would tie into the city system, or whether they would build their own communities. It's too large for the septic. So this is the problem that they were running into having parties. So I guess one of the questions that I have is if we were able to tap into the market through OEdit and try and get some people to come and look, do you have an idea of where you might go, or would you try and tie into city services, or would it be?
We're in those conversations now. We're trying to figure out that available water source. And the only other thing I'm thinking about is part of the available water source would be purchasing water rights.
Sure.
And we were actually looking at the possibility of industrial park. And I had talked to them. I know we have two or three other individuals keep on. Sure how to pronounce his name, Calamari.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was really interested because he's interested in tying the whole healthy foods aspect all together.
Sure.
And anyway, I think it was a good opportunity. There's funding available. We probably did my pitch about 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Some of those are signature.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm speaking.
So my sentiments county called for a program several years ago called the Jumpstart, Rural Jumpstart Program. They re-upped the legislation last year. The one caveat, the thing that rural Colorado was really pushing on legislation is the way it was originally written. It said that if anywhere in the state there was another competitor that did the same thing, the incentives would qualify. And they worked when they re-upped the legislation to dial that back a bit. Grand Junction has been the most successful with that particular program. I'll make a call and see. I was not part of it when I was working on it when I was working at the city. I was not part of the re-upping of the legislation, but I think they they took the competition clause and changed it a bit, so it was like regionally, if you weren't competitive. So given the nature of the 2.5 years, let's at least look and see if the rural jump started instead of qualified. It would preclude the business that you attract from paying state income tax for 10 years. It would give some payroll tax consideration for their employees. It's probably the most attractive, much more attractive than the incentives that are all been throughout the state. But there is another one called, if you have 25 or more employees, I don't know if they would, I don't know if this is all I want to know. There's a job growth tax incentive which you give in certain businesses in the next 5 to 7 years. So I'll look at both of those programs and see if they qualify.
At our action 22, I think you bring it to us. And Kevin Wilkins and I kind of had a bounce between the two of the Seattle State Group, putting something like that together down here. And he said something action 22 would also.
Okay.
And you might have heard that conversation, but it was pretty lengthy. And maybe something can come out of that too. Probably what I would like to see happen is a co-op so that we're guaranteed participation. I'd like to do grain elevators. If we can do a co-op, same, we have better participation in one of them because we can guarantee that.
And there's two things that came to mind as you were speaking. One is there's a whole division inside of Atlantic now that works on employee-owned businesses. Helps them research how to set this up and talks about how that should be structured. So I'll ask Jeff Kraft who the contact for that is. So when you start working on this, if it is going to go the direction of 4M, that's the first thing that came to mind. The second thing is through the CCI Agriculture Committee. When we did a call at the governor's office a few weeks ago, I'm not talking about the ARPA when it comes to you guys, I'm talking about there is $700 million that has not been decided what to do with that money. It will not be decided until next year because they have the 2 years to everything allocated, and they're looking for feedback. So I guess my question and the challenge for the CCI committee would be, how does government incentivize if they traditionally, would the incentive go to the private owner, or would the incentive, if it needed to go to local government, then how would that be packaged and how would that look like? I think you almost have to figure that out when you can make that ask. But in the governor's listening tour, he did around the state. You were on that call about anything that they did based on just ag. It was mentioned over and over and over, and then I did call 2 days later in the evening for the Eastern Plains and ag, with ag and substance abuse for 2 days over and over and over. So I think if you're thinking about accessing some of that $700 million, it would be how. How do you get that from the state government to incentivize something like that? Does it come through you guys? Does it come through a local economic development corporation? Does it come through a COG? Does it come through the enterprise fund? Does it go to OEDIT and OEDIT can give it directly to the private employed private sector business? So I think figuring out how the easiest way for it to go from the state to there and then how much you want to use to incentivize. So you're not talking just about one, you're talking about a series of impact.
And these ones there, $700 million are going to be made available via legislation that is going to have all the rules. Because, at the end of the day, when you have the incentives going through the county, we're more apt to actually attract those businesses and the partnership and cooperations.
Right.
And when, one thing, and the Attorney General Weiser actually made a statement that I thought that was important thing. He said the erosion of trust between citizen and government, or lefty government, has eroded to a certain extent, but county government needs to maintain and continue the trust
perspective, and I think, you know, if there was anything, through CC, I would look into the rules of engagement for these incentives, because I think we would be in a position where the ag committee or even the board of CCI partnering with within our own regions and districts, we can bring the money home to once again grow the economy, provide the services that are necessary. And we heard that, and I think Rick Garcia did a pretty good job when he was talking about the complexities to this whole thing.
So just talking about, I'm going to relate this discussion to housing.
Okay.
So there is $320 million being set aside for housing. Okay. And some of that funding was discussed to be used as gap funding for developers. So if I'm a housing developer, there are maybe seven major sources of funding put together in my deal. You know, everything from private equity to bank loans, tax credits. Some of that can take 2 to 3 years to put together that deal. So what the governor was saying to DOLA's Division of Housing is identify the drag, the resources that are taking so long to put the deal together, and then let's develop a program to provide gap funding. So if you could figure out from the ag perspective what the capital stack would look like in funding these meatpacking plants, what the fast sources of money are, the private equity, then where is that gap funding? Where is the funding that says, if we could just have $2 million, then we could build this in 6 months rather than spending the next 2 years raising that $2 million. And then that's the ask, is for a fund that would provide the gap funding. That may be the way you want to approach this. I don't know enough about that business to identify that gap. And that's where I think from your CCI Ag committee, where you've got the people at the table who have the access to folks in the private business world that you're doing that, figure out, you know, they've got to bring some of their own skin for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be bank loans that are going to be backed with that. But to locate something in rural Colorado, the gap funding is probably, how do you get the utilities to it? Whereas if you went to Littleton, you'd have those utilities, right? So it's those things that make the difference between it being in rural Colorado and urban Colorado, where it's more expensive to be here. Then that's where you go, I believe, that's where you go and ask the state to help provide that infrastructure. Okay? That's just a thought. So how do you approach that?
On the on the housing issue, $320 million.
Yes.
I think a couple of days ago, perhaps might have been last week, the city attorney that is going to probably use some of the general fund dollars to incentivize builders. This $320 million, you know, for us in the county, the utilities may be rather different than the ones within the city. But so the $320 million, there are those available for.
So we got a report yesterday.
Okay.
This is legislation. It's going to be the state's American Rescue Plan dollars. So we don't have anything yet, or we do have half of them right now.
Sure.
$100 million has been activated.
Right.
They're writing the programs right now. So I couldn't roll out a program to you today. We met with the deputy director of housing, the regional team, yesterday morning. We're now having a weekly meeting. So as those programs develop, I'll have a little bit more information. The caveat with a lot of existing housing resources is the difference between affordable housing and workforce housing. So affordable housing is defined, this is the problem Space to Create. So Space to Create had $10 to $11 million and 9% low income tax credits, federal dollars, that were affordable housing. So a percentage of AMI, annual median income for the county, is what the rents were based on. So the Space to Create project here had 41 units, and I don't want to imply this was a problem. I just want to talk about what we learned from that experience and maybe what the challenge was in Trinidad versus Ridgeway, which is coming online now. you would find, based on the average median income in Los Angeles County, that a teacher or a sheriff deputy is just over the line of making too much money to live in the project because of the percentage of average median income in Los Angeles County. In Ridgeway, they easily qualify, even though they make more money as a sheriff's deputy and teacher in Ridgeway than they do in Trinidad. The average median income over there is much higher than it is here. So what that left is the folks that the city originally intended to target when they started out, and they, you know, creatives that might have to have two or three jobs to make rent, sheriff's deputies, teachers, those types of personalities, in some cases, not all, but in some cases, maybe a little bit too much to qualify. But then you had to also make enough to be able to do the rent. So it was a very thin margin. So workforce housing is now kind of the new buzzword and differentiation to affordable housing. So I don't know what the programs are going to look like, but what I would say to you and all of the Southeast outside of Pueblo, when we're looking at these housing programs, let's talk about what the rent restrictions are going to be for that source of money. Look realistically at whether that is the market you're trying to attract. So if it's the mine workers, my guess is it's workforce housing that you need, not affordable housing. So just be aware that the program, we're waiting to see what the programs look like that come out of DOH. And the feedback that the regional team provided is that when you look at the state as a whole, there's this great need for affordable housing because the places in the state with higher income, they don't have housing for their waitstaff. They don't have housing for their workforce, and all affordable housing credits would solve that issue. But if you only target affordable housing and you leave out these rural, agriculturally based communities where the average median income is so low, it doesn't actually help the workforce. So this is something I've learned. It's something I'm going to probably continue to talk about when we look at programs that come out of the DOH. So I'm not discouraging you. This is not discouragement. It's just when we look at these, let's make sure that when you target housing and the city targets housing, targeting the appropriate sources that give you the housing you want. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I've done the Space to Create program when it was implemented. That was all through legislation. And is that how that was created?
It's federal dollars.
So, but the parameters for the median income was set by statute?
It's set by HUD, Housing of Urban Development, who provides the source of the funding.
So,
and it's figured, I'm sorry to interrupt, Commissioner, it's figured biannually. Through housing.
Well, right now, we have rentals. And I push both check basically, I might open the end. Can that be manipulated in any way here in Los Angeles? That's only source for that set.
That funding source, the moment they took that funding, it set the parameters on that for 15 years.
Okay. So, how's the occupancy rate?
All the two are filled. That's good.
To include the ones that we love?
All 13 on Main Street, two are remaining on that. As of 2 weeks ago.
So it's been a success.
It has been a success for sure. But a lot of those early folks that exhibited interest.
When we move forward with any type of this situation, this is for housing, we need to be very careful with your 10,000 housing.
Yes. Let's just make sure. Right, that you understand the rental restrictions.
And that's probably more with the city of Trinidad County.
So are you looking at any housing in the county that would be based on like a cistern or a septic tank system rather than standing utilities? Are you interested in
that? Well, according to the assessor's office, outside of this, Jody Mott, our county assessor, she had never seen as much assets in all 3 years as a assessor in the assessor office. So that tells us, and Mr. Camp will probably know better, if building permits are being issued, right? We've seen an increase in those.
Yes, in new housing, I think five within the last few months.
So I'm familiar with your zoning map. Is your zoning amount, most of it is zoned agricultural outside the city limits? Does it allow for housing?
Yes, it does, but it is and it does. It varies. The map isn't real accurate. It's based more upon the size of the lot. Whether it's 35 acres plus or less than that.
Do you feel like if you were to attract a housing developer, you would need to upgrade the ordinances related to utility infrastructure or zoning or anything like that? Do you see any restriction in your land use from attracting a housing developer?
No, I don't.
If you do run into any questions or needs and have a whole vision that works on land use that you look at, what you're trying to attract and help you develop any ordinance upgrades or anything like that that you need to
do. Now, we have been working with the city of Trinidad too, up through the canyon. That scenario right now, last conversations with Matt and 14 of the lots with one of the owners were disclosed to the county. We worked on and buildable right now, shovel ready. So the treasurer's office has moved forward with buildings. Before we have talked to the landowner, he is hopefully preparing to secure and pay back that tax done. So we can move forward.
That's great.
But that's just a baby step. So we need more because the point, you know, they're seen their hazard and sanitizing. And that kind of stuff right up to the place. So housing is a big thing for us as well as all the other. I think we're in a good spot because Los Angeles County is really booming.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You can develop, you can attract housing developers. That's your wish.
Yeah, and see, with the broadband, if we're to implement that out in the county, it'll bring more of those folks that are now working from home, especially with this COVID, the everything that's electronic decision, they can relocate to Los Angeles County and conduct business if they have the broadband capabilities, which brings in more revenue, more income, builds up our average median income base, which is what we want. So,
you guys took the step a couple of years ago to adopt a needed broadband regulations that went to the government in the past. So, talking about broadband, DOLA has 5 million a year for the next 5 years, hasn't been used yet. It's rolling at applications, as Commissioner Moss knows, which means you don't have to wait for an energy mineral impact application to go in any time. DOLA just right before the pandemic hired a gentleman that actually lives in Uray that is an expert in broadband. And then what he does is, if you can bring a private sector partner in that you want to work with for a specific area of the county, I get Virgil, we sit on a conversation, that private sector partner likes CPOM. I'm not saying it should be CPOM, I'm just throwing them out there. Sure. Would say, here's what it's going to cost us to build it. Here's the infrastructure that's needed. The county comes in, works with CCOM, we work with bring our DOLA expert in. I'm not going to pretend to understand most of the projects they develop. But what Virgil does is he listens and talks with the private sector partner. He relates to us how that's going to the DOLA team, how that's going to deliver a product fiber. So if you're ready, we've got the consultant.
Wonderful. And the eligibility for middle mile, last mile, I mean, all that language.
Just middle mile for DOLA.
Okay.
So if you're working with the school district, we ran into this in Primero when we met with them. The federal resources already pay for 80% of the district to get the resources. So they just need to work with that resource. What DOLA's been doing is coming in the cities and counties and providing middle mile to get that broadband access there. So, identify a partner, let's set up a meeting. If you want to start without a private sector partner and just set up a meeting, I know Mr. Bolden and COG did a study for work now in Los Angeles County. And the study indicates what's located where. I think the next thing would be to prioritize the projects. A, who's the order that these projects need to be done with, each project may have a different partner associated with it. But I think that would be your next step, might be a consultant. You could come to go look for a planning grant, back to hire someone who would be a consultant. I'll have to check and see what kind of planning grants we might have done before. Lastly, I would say SCED. I don't know if you're working with SCED these days.
We're not partners. We're not voting members. We are members. So this is a motto myself on the board.
They're applying to the EDA for $1 million to hire a consultant that would work in their region for 3 years to do what I just suggested. And DOLA has said that as soon as they get the consultant hired, we will provide planning dollars to help create that punch list. Here are the projects, and Virgil did sit in on that meeting. So I guess it depends on how you want to approach it. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go and do this as Los Angeles County, try to figure out what these projects are, if you want to work through SCED in a larger region, and figure out how to access the consultant they will provide to do that for you. But it's there, and this is the priority region, the Southeast, for broadband. So I would say almost anything that we get a green light from Virgil on, Rick will put the funding, because we're also getting additional funding from the legislature on this.
Mr. Bolden, are you on the call?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any comments or concerns?
Well, I would say we definitely need to take that plan that was put together back in 2017 and update it. And I like the idea of setting priorities for it. I know that I've been sitting in on some of those conversations for you, Luis, with SCED around broadband and where they're going with it. The biggest concern I guess I would have with that is that they cover 8 regions and an awful lot of them are a lot farther ahead than us. So it would just depend on, you know, what resources would be available through them, or if we would set up something through COG that would be much more specific. Even if you compare Huerfano to Los Animas County, Huerfano is in a totally different position than we are also. So I think part of it would just be the county deciding who we need to partner with or how specific we need to make it to Los Animas County, because they're two very, very different regions. I mean, you go up Highway 12 and into the mountains, it's going to take a whole different access with fiber than it will be if we go out towards Kim in the southeast where we can use towers. So it really, I think, would be connected to establishing those priorities. And do we do them in conjunction with, say, a project that's going to be opening up in Kim that would need this kind of broadband access, or pursuing the work from home entities that are coming in to live in the mountains and get out of the city. And I think that would really take a planning process to get some real feedback and tie it into the other economic development elements.
That was going to be one of my comments, if I can interject here, is with SCED looking at going after $1 million to hire a consultant, and then us being a part of this regional group and Walt working towards going after broadband too, are we not starting to overlap a lot of, and so I kind of like Walt's idea, frankly, to be selfish. Better for him to work with two county governments and two county seats versus 8 county governments.
I agree. The issue that SCED has, or I have with SCED, is their improvement at this point. 5 years ago, I was on that board and it's non-existent and diminished. Now that there's funding available, all of a sudden there's a resurrection of SCED. And it puts commissioners in a really tough spot. Do we trust this organization? How they've proven. Mr. Bolden is up at Central Council of Governments, are tried and true, you know, in Los Angeles and Whitman County. So this to exactly build this to send the same dollars after the same prize.
And then, and one other comment for now anyway. When you're talking broadband, are they looking at, they being whoever defines broadband and allows for those funds to be available, are they looking like they have spoke about in the past, possibly adjusting the up and down speeds on those? Because as we get out in rural Colorado, especially if we're going off in towers, and the more people that start hitting those towers, the slower those speeds are going to be. So, and I know there was talk about adjusting, because I think at one time it was 100 up and 100 down.
It depends on the project that you develop.
Okay.
What capacity is going to be for that project. It's almost a project by project basis, because the topography always plays into what might be needed. It's how many people will be connecting, what the mile range reaches that would be on one of those towers.
Okay, so it's not necessarily, broadband isn't necessary to define for the funding a certain amount up. Okay. No. Okay, good, thank you.
It can all be all the way to fiber. It can be all the way down to what you consider a lesser broadband. Depends on the project you develop. The guidelines for funding don't contribute to that conversation. You bring forward the project.
So basically you can find a provider, partner up with it, have either one organization or another move forward with this, and then once we have that all in place, then we can see what the next step is. Is that kind of?
I think that's certainly an option. If you know, those of you, if you know how you want to move forward, if you know you want to work with SCED, then, you know, I just step back and wait. If you want Mr. Holden and Cobb to start digging into this, then maybe before we even get to private sector partner, I said call with Virgil. If Phil wants to attend that call, or there's a commissioner that has an interest in it that wants to sit in on that call, then we'll ask the consultant that we pay for, that Phil was paying for, what his direction would be.
I think what we'll do is have a discussion at our next board meeting in the county. Mr. Bolden, if you could possibly do that with our board for council governments, see what direction, if any, that board wants to take. And then we can have that discussion with the commissioner regarding, you know, SCED or COG at that time, once we have the possibility of COG, they're interested.
Okay, that sounds good. And if they are, well.
And also we can have that conversation with Bob Kramer, SCED. So, okay, then we get the dialogue. Sorry, so, I mean, 5 years you've been the process.
You drive this. So we have the resources now, hire a consultant. And that came off of a successful consultant in the North, May, who couldn't cover the state. So he's based in one of the mountain towns up there, and they've done some pretty amazing work in the mountains in getting that. So Virgil is an answer to the Southern part of the state. We hired him about a month before COVID started.
And Walt, if that's okay with you, I'm sorry if I threw you in the bus there.
Yeah, I will add it to the board's item for the agenda also, but I'll also touch base with Tara and see how kind of groundwork we can lay prior to even the board meeting.
Thank you, Mark.
So if I may, Tara, I want to go back to the planning grant dollars. Because, you know, right now, I think, as Walt mentioned, I have seen that the planification report from 2017, I like to take a look at it. Well, I think the information, the foundation is probably there. And I would imagine planification for two county is going to be a lot more successful than for a main region county. And we can expedite the process, we can spend less and have those resources probably easier, readily available, I think. And then another question on the Jumpstart program, I made a point. You mentioned that it has to be unique, and I read the Jumpstart program some years back, and it has to be unique to the state. But I hope that it does have the ability to, even though it's going to be replicated perhaps at a different part of the state, that the opportunity there for the investors is with those income taxes. And federal income taxes, and then the state, whatever is doing on that end, because that would be a huge incentive to attract industry to this part of the state.
It would be, and it doesn't involve federal income tax for sure, because it's a state incentive.
Okay.
And when they re-upped the legislation last year, the question is, what did they do with the competitive clause in the legislation? the original legislation you're referring to, I'm very familiar with. It's very clear that it couldn't compete with anyone right. anywhere in the state. So if you got a manufacturer of a gun trigger here and they were producing a similar trigger in Grand Junction, is that really competition? Someone there, someone there? Not so much. Yeah. So they did rewrite the competition clause. I don't know what they did. That's what I want. I'll call Chuck Kraft on that to find out. Now, would meatpacking qualify? They're probably going to argue one in Fowler. It's still in a regional reach, sure. But it's worth asking, because what if we had someone who had a specific process, maybe a renewable process, or maybe a biodegradable process, or some kind of process that's not being done in other meatpacking Colorado, then it would probably qualify for rural jumpstart. So it can be a process within a company.
Manufacturing a possible dog or cat food from the
exactly, some sort of process.
That process.
Back to the gun trigger with the gunsmithing school, we've always kind of been dreamed that some sort of manufacturing could be attracted that was related to that industry. Sure. So that's always a thought, but that's the jumpstart.
Is there language in some place for this workforce housing? Because, you know, what we keep talking about affordable housing, and at the end of the day, affordable housing, it has so many connotations. I like to go out and search and research the workforce housing, because that to me is maybe a not great too. Also, not only on the sell of those properties, but also on the people that is going to service.
So there's no technical definition for workforce housing within state programs, okay. And we're hoping with this $100 million that is defined a little bit more. Affordable housing is in everything. It's in editorials. It's in programs. It you have to figure out if it's what the definition of affordable housing is for that program.
Sure.
Colorado's Division of Housing refers back to the HUD definition of affordable housing, which is what happened with this percentage of AMI. So for ease, the state of Colorado in the past has just said, when we say affordable housing in our programs, we mean the federal definition from Housing Urban Development of Affordable Housing. I think what we keep pushing back on is, okay, in these programs, it's there, but does that mean it has to be that way in every program? Can there be some programs that don't have that definition of affordable housing? Maybe they're still affordable, but that's a different definition. Maybe there's another factor that could measure into, like in frontier communities, which Los Angeles County is, you can have additional AMI, right? In a frontier communities versus urban communities. So once again, this goes back to policy. This goes back to your positions in CCI to talk about why would you assume that affordable housing in Ridgeway and affordable housing in Trinidad accomplish the same thing? They don't accomplish the same thing by the definition. So can you use other demographics to redefine that form? That, you know, redefine that particular word, that particular meaning and program.
That was going to be one of my questions, is how does HUD figure the AMI? Is it based upon people who are also receiving benefits, and those benefits that don't count towards an income? So where Los Angeles County has 8,000 individuals or folks on public assistance, that draws our AMI that much further down. So that means people making, okay.
Right. And then,
so maybe that's something that's approached, is that a caveat to an AMI would be maybe something similar to it, but where you're not looking at those folks who are on entitlements or on public assistance, that their incomes are considered when it comes to an AMI.
Or vouchers.
If it was that easy.
Well, yeah. I understand.
Yeah. Well, and when you think about your example of Denver and Trinidad, Tua says they're meeting the same
AMI.
Yeah, they are.
Because of the amount of people on government programs nationwide. If they do not include those in the AMI,
then those state governments won't get the funding to provide those services.
Yeah, and I guess I'm not saying it the typical AMI outright. I'm saying maybe there's some kind of...
There should be a loophole, right?
Jared mentioned something about, you know, maybe there's some way to not necessarily manipulate the AMI, but come up with another mechanism, another demographic that would allow for people making just above that current AMI to go ahead and have access to affordable housing, otherwise are scrapping to try and find places to rent and afford that. For those rentals.
And the COG in Southeast Colorado, Stephanie Ball's counterpart, did a project similar in EADS that's coming online now. It's going to be similar issue with the AMI in Kiowa County, which is a little bit lower. So, you know, it's just what we've learned. We always learn from this one fantastic project that was done, a wonderful project, but it's probably not going to hit the If your target is to try and move housing for this growing economic community, particularly like the mines, land or packing plant, who bring those in, and you have to try and target the housing that's going to actually support those businesses. So we'll see.
We have a timeline we have to, we discussed that earlier, for when the final regulation and number for the ARPA.
I wish the governor's OSPD has not weighed in on it yet, or the state controller. That's why I think Rick Garcia asked everyone to slow down a little bit to get a little more clarification of how that's going to play out. The session just ended, as you know, on Tuesday. Last Friday, just ended. Governor signed 8 bills a day. So he signed the renewable bill yesterday. So as soon as the focus has been on state stimulus programs and state programs. Now that that is finishing up and the governor's signing bills, I think the next step will be to concentrate on what those guidelines are going to look like. Now, I'm talking about the state. You've probably seen what the federal government gave. It's pretty unspecific. An example from Crowley County that Lane asked is the county treasurer has defined revenue loss as, I don't know if I told you this question, total amount of all funds, like 2019 and all funds 2020. Crowley's question was, well, they own a water system. They said our water fund is even, our general fund is up, but our road fund is down, and our ambulance fund is down. So he said the way he was reading it was, if I need to put, if I lost a third of money in my road fund, if I want to take American Rescue Plan money and backfill the road fund, then the way he reads it, that is treasurer treating differently. And so those are the kind of nuances that we haven't been able to clarify for anyone yet.
In April, the young lady came to Maple. They have a panel, CML, CCI in Maple. I asked the question specifically because Phil and I have had the conversation here. Can we just do one of the departmental losses? And it's got to be the aggregate of all. And that's what she said. Now, NACO, as of their conference, they have a dialogue and conversation schedule in DC, but that is still kind of a blue line. We also had a conversation with John Swartout, and his indication to us was it's going to be the aggregate of it all. And so the aggregate of it all, if you're here, there, but you have to show that loss, and then you can apply it to your general fund and transfer it back to what you think you need, but it's only the lesser than all.
Right.
Yeah. So, which makes it a bit complex.
Because we'll be busy this year. Because there'll be multiple opinions, I have a feeling on it.
Yes.
And then you just alluded to the second part of that, which is if you can determine you can claim a portion of this for revenue replacement, are you obligated to put it where you lost the revenue, or do you get to recycle it through your general fund and put it into a project? I don't know. It's like, I don't know.
I'm saying no, because if it's a road and bridge loss,
he wants
to get a road bridge.
Yeah. And so those are the questions I think that Philip and Pam are going to be struggling with as every county manager and county attorney are going to be trying to answer commissioner questions. And we don't have any more guidance at this point than you do. John Sorrell is probably the best source because he's got that access to all those other states. Kevin Ballmer on the municipal side, they're having those conversations. Certainly the state will weigh in on that, but I don't have that.
Just out of curiosity, it has nothing to do with anything, but what if a county, for instance, you were talking about that water district, I guess, so Crowley County?
They own a water system.
Water system? Is it an enterprise fund? And if so, does
do.
It's an enterprise fund.
They operate it as an enterprise fund.
Does it then weigh into the aggregate, I wonder?
I don't know. That's going to be a question. Mike Valentine's got four enterprise funds.
You know, that's a really good
question. How's that going to way into the aggregate? It's a totally different fund. It's not a government fund. It's a business fund.
See, and I think my read, depending whether you're using GASB to report that, who knows? And let's not even go down into those ways.
I know. It's a whole other meeting.
We'll leave that for a while to research later on.
I want to be respectful of your time. We've been at this for an hour. I haven't even touched impact yet. Is that where we should go next?
Sure.
Okay, so Commissioner Haas, position has been part of the conversation and a presentation by our financial services division on what's going on with impact. Annually, we were giving out grants of $60 million a year right before I joined DOLA, and then it dropped to about $30 a year, and this year we've only given $15 million. We're anticipating only giving $15 million next year. The Energy and Mineral Impact Fund revenues going into this next fiscal year are zero. That's zero revenue dollars coming in. There's two things impacting this. One is, this isn't a political or partisan statement. This is just a reality. When you regulate oil and gas and you incentivize renewables, your oil and gas revenues are going to increase. So there's that. The second part of it is a lot of allowances were given during COVID for people to pay into certain taxes later than normal. So there will be a space of time where Energy and Mineral Impact has a zero revenue balance. And then we are expecting $40 million next year, although it's really early to make that assumption right now. What I'm going to suggest, because you are a 9 out of 10, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, I haven't asked my boss this yet, but Chantal, I feel, will say yes. If you feel like this is something you want, then I can go back and say, listen, it's coming as requested this. I was thinking maybe we would set up a Zoom call with the Financial Services Division of DOLA. Victor gave the presentation during the Energy Mineral Impact. This is all public information. And have them speak directly to you about federal mineral lease revenues, about severance tax revenues, about what that has looked like in recent years, about what it looks like now, and about where it's going. So it would be a presentation to the Los Angeles County Commissioners, and I considered maybe perhaps inviting Fairfield County, which is a 6, likely going to be a 7. Everyone else in the region is a 4 or less. So this would be the two counties in the region that are heavily impacted on our scale of impact, to just have a direct presentation on this particular fund and what the projections look like. And what they can speak to and what would be a separate conversation would be DOLA's decision-making on how we give them the money. And that's a separate conversation, and I do want to address that. We'll send me an email with some things in that. That would be a separate conversation. This would be me asking Victor, who manages the fund financially, to come forward and speak at a level of detail to you about what's going on in the fund that I just don't feel like. It's not my day in, day out job. I can give you the high level, and I've just given it to you. The revenues are net zero right now. But why that's the case and what's impacting that, the two methodologies that the state uses to one's OSPB and the other is the state controller, the two methodologies that they use. So I guess my question is this something you're interested in?
I think so. You know, and again, I don't want to mislabel,
no.
But we came out of a general session with a ton of unfunded mandates.
Yeah.
And even this right here for us could vaguely be translated into not having access to those funds. I mean, it's impacting our county fiduciary in a way that we would not like.
So there's two things. First is the grant funding. The second is the direct distribution.
Yes.
Right? That's going to affect every local government in the state. I think if I was to request this, I'd request it on the basis of your impact score. And just, it would be a technical assistance for me to help better explain to you what's going on, how I would make that request.
And the impact that we're subjected to was going to get worse with our coal mine when they're bringing those trucks down Highway 12. And so it's burning.
So I think we would start with this conversation. What it would do is give all of you a better understanding of where the fund is.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you have that understanding, if you want to talk policy, that might be the next level of conversation. This would be a staff presentation where I would invite Mr. Chen to do that presentation. We would provide you with a PowerPoint from that presentation. I think it would lay the groundwork that you would want, that the conversation up is going to be with Robert Garcia. Going to be up about just in general how that pot of money is managed. I'm gathering from some of the comments, you know, from our email exchanges that's something that this body might be wanting to have that conversation. So my intention in doing this presentation with you and the work of county commissioners would just be to lay the groundwork for you to understand what's going on in the fund. So please understand, we're not going to have movers and shakers on this call. This is just an educational call. And then beyond that, we can see where you might want to go beyond that.
Okay. And I agree. We need to figure out some metric.
I think so. That dollar frequency 101, I think that would be great.
And you're comfortable with me inviting the Redmond County Commission as well?
No way.
With the mind, with the mind being halfway between, I think the impacts are probably... For sure, for housing, I know the trucks may. I don't know how that's going to impact their road situation, but there are six. You're a nine. I'm guessing you're going to be a 10, and they're going to be 7 by the time And now I'll talk about the impact score. By the time the impact scores are readjusted,
so can we go back one step? You will set a Zoom meeting up. You'll get that.
Okay. I will set a Zoom meeting up. I'm going to talk to Chantal on Thursday and ask for permission to get this set up, and then I will email. And I'll include Workman County, and I'll include Victor, who I thought did a great presentation to you guys. Okay, so there's that. So impact scores are set every couple of years. I think the last time they were set was 3 years ago. They were reset last year. You were an 8. The 7th County was historically an 8 for as long as I was around. It went to a 9 this last year. You'll be at a 9, probably going to a 10. There's only 2 10s. It's based on a couple of factors. And once again, in this presentation, I'm going to explain in a little bit more detail than I am. It's based on the number of employees within the county that are working in the oil and gas industry, the amount of severance tax that's paid, and the amount of active wells that are drilled and active. So Los Angeles County was an 8 in 2012, I don't really know what to call it, kind of an exodus of employees, 1,200 jobs lost. It remained in eight. And it was, I believe, and this will be explained a little bit better detail by my financial services, but I believe that it's about a 2 to 3 year lag. And by the time you were getting ready to be reset again, activity had already geared up. So you never really dropped to the 7. I'm guessing by the time this is reset again, just guessing, with the coal impact, you're probably going to a 10, so you'd be 1 or 3.
That was going to be one of my questions. You'd mentioned that one of the criteria was the number of wells.
Yes.
And not necessarily the number of mines, but the mine would be paying the severance, so that would account
and
for the mine, activity
employees.
And the employees.
And that may be a perfect example of why you didn't drop from an 8 to a 7 when the 1,200 employees were lost. I don't know. I will get that question answered in this presentation as well. So I'm a generalist. I'm not a specialist. So I'm more of your general surgeon, not your cardiologist. I would like to bring the cardiologist in to talk specifically about this subject. So
Thanks for touching.
Yeah, for sure. That's an overview. There's no doubt it's going to be painful. I mean, the question, I guess, for the financial services, is it ever going back? There was a point in time where Clay tells me the grant program wasn't just $60 million a year. It was like $120 million a year that was being given out. So it wasn't $20 million every round. It was $40 million every round. We're going to do a round in August, I think, $7 to $8 million. And then we're going to do a round next February at 4 million. So we worked somewhere to get Tony got himself appointed now, you know, but maybe it's great that Commissioner Haas is on during these conversations, because I think he's the only one from an impacted county that's on the board right now. Greeley's Boyato's coming off.
From what I'm going to be on board.
Okay. Well, let's, yeah, we'll get this. Figured out, and then we can see where you want to go from a policy standpoint. I know Mr. Dornkamp has reached out at various times to other counties that are heavily impacted that may end up coming somewhere that I can't participate in that, you know, but I will help provide you with the information you need to have those conversations.
I mean, you know, and for us, it appears that it's all relative, but at the end of the day, it's not, because we don't have a population. And as a county that's being impacted, you know, we look at Denver County or Pueblo County, the ARPA funds distribution that they have, it's all in a sense relative because of the number of citizens they have within the county. But at the end of the day, you know, for us to do business and actually continue to maintain the services countywide, DOLA has been our lifeline for a long time. And, as we transition onto our renewables, I believe the challenge is going to continue to us the planification at the local level, and to do a whole lot more with a whole lot less. That's what it is.
Right now, there's no appreciable similar tax structure on renewables. So the first thing I've seen was in the transportation bill, there was a fee that would be associated with electric vehicles that you would do through your annual vehicle registration. That's the first thing I've seen on any renewable source ever. So I don't know, you know, it's this, you would be fighting this fight if you decide to go down that route specific to the needs of Los Angeles County, but the most of the local governments aren't even aware yet of the impact in 4 to 5 years. Since direct distribution, I know 45 jurisdictions that are using it in their general fund to operate. I mean, I have 45 jurisdictions. They're all using direct distribution dollars for general municipal and county operations. So,
what is it?
Pardon me?
The direct distribution to the
center. It's going Road and Bridge.
Is that where yours goes?
I believe so, yeah. I can look it
Sorry,
up.
Sorry, no,
that's
yeah. Everybody's using MLB. I assume it pays salaries, though. It's not just for projects.
It's not specifically
just,
yeah, it's just a lot of money we pull out of it to do various
renewable, though, without having some of that income replaced from severance taxes from oil and gas, coal. And not planning for that, it makes up nearly $900,000 of Los Angeles County dollars for our budget. And replacing that and then having a sort of tax problem. Tough to manage a county. These unfunded mandates and all of this green everything coming forward. It puts managers and administrators and commissioners and city managers and council members in a really tough spot.
So I know we're limited in time. I can stay here as long as you need me to, but I want to be respectful of your time. I do want to talk about the courthouse project just for a second.
We have some people coming in.
Okay, great. Then I'll join in.
And we do get, Roden Bridge does get $100,000 of severance money. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to imagine not having direct distribution dollars. Tony, Commissioner Hossel knows that we had a supplemental funding come forward that was not recommended by staff and the advisory committee didn't recommend. It's not the one you're discussing. There was a small balance of money left in that. Rick is using that to go into the operations of the Energy and Mineral Impact Fund. July 1, that fund will reset. I am going to strongly suggest to Mr. Dornkamp that we redo your letter and bring forward July 1, go through the supplemental process in the new fiscal year. Rather than trying to push it forward any further, I'd like to just retract back where we are now, redline, take the additional information you gave me and redline it. And I apologize for not getting back with you. I was waiting to see what happened with the existing supplemental. And it's public information, so I don't know if you want to speak to it, but it's going to be the same thing. Rick took the money instead of supplemental and put it to operations for next year.
You're correct for the forward that we're having on this.
So let's talk about that. There's two options. One, you submit a supplemental request on July 1. We fight for it. See, really hard to try and get it through in July. If it doesn't come through, it's denied because I just don't know what it's going to look like with the zero balance and impact. You come in August 1. August, they're going to open the next impact round. You can ask for up to $600,000. Maybe you add another element to the courthouse renovation and come in for that. And if you want to talk retaining wall, we can. But we come in with two elements, the second half of the windows and that. So do you have a strong preference one way or another, whether you try the supplemental or you just wait for the grant or?
No preference, just funding.
Just funding. So you hold off on getting your contractor in place and come forward. Let me talk with Tim. We talk with Tim Peters and find out what he thinks will be the most successful. But maybe, Mr. Dornkamp, we marry the second half of what you need with windows with another element from the courthouse grounds and come forward with that on August 1. Right.
Okay, and you'll note that in your email when you send me back the redlined letter?
I will.
Okay.
I will probably call you and say Tim's recommending not supplemental work to do because I haven't seen, and Rick won't approve, and Commissioner Haas will get a copy of it too, what the set aside, how they're going to break out the energy and mineral impact for sure after July 1. There was discussion of having no supplemental funding for next year. Wow. So it's pretty tight right now. So that would answer the question right there. With your score of 9, we work really diligently on, I'll work with Mr. Dornkamp. It might be the most competitive way to move forward, but that supplemental process was pretty brutal. We just went through. I don't know if you saw all the comments that were given, but
I've heard a lot.
Yeah, so I think it's going to get denied. That's fine. If it went through right now, you know, because I think Rick is pretty much decided to move that funding to operational. So we'll see. We'll see if I still feel that way on July. I know you need it. If you don't care how we get it, let's just figure out the best way to finish it.
Capital FUNBA.
Oh, Bob, I tell you, we were talking about the moving tax rates and stuff on those ground roads where the frack trucks got ordered to take out compounds. That's up to the road division to put those compounds back in place. So, to me, the retaining wall around this courthouse and what's happening right there, it's coming out of general fund to fix that. There should be a balance. There should be some kind of compromise.
I understand. If we put that supplemental in 3 months before, it would have sailed through. There has not been a supplemental request denied until this week in 4 years. So it was 5 years ago when the last one was denied. So it's not because DOLA doesn't care. There's just zero balance coming in. So it's just funny. So,
yeah, I think I've been
in
the report so many times. Three quarters of the most.
But that does trigger that second conversation, which is if the fund is depleting and your needs are growing, then it may become a policy discussion. Okay. It has the way that impact grants are scored and the way that the county's impact score is assigned has not been changed since Reeves Brown. That was three executive directors ago, maybe 8 years. But to your point in your letter, there are counties that pay very low severance tax that are receiving impact funding. So, but once again, that's policy discussion. It'll be on probably you and some partners to have to decide you want to approach that. So,
DOLA doesn't oversee CDOT's Main Street revitalization.
No.
Okay, because I had heard where they were putting another $7 million into that. Okay.
So they just closed a grant round. This is what Judy Walden, I believe, was talking to you guys about in implementing the Pell grant. Did Judy meet with all of you about implementing the Pell grant? There was a large pot of CDOT money. I think you could apply for $2 million per project, and that closed. And I wasn't sure if you went in on that for the implementation of that project.
No, we're actually looking, not that I'm aware, but we're actually looking at the second round of grants. I don't believe has a deadline, but that's, I'm just curious.
$150,000 rolling. They did just put $7 million in that.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Solid. We got a presentation on that yesterday, and it's available until the money's gone. And it can be up to $150,000.
Okay, I'm going way.
Sidewalks.
I'm going way back to earlier conversation, if I may. Out at the airport, we're looking and hoping that we can get the FAA to kind of go along with us on this to perhaps somehow put together an industrial park out there, which would cause us to have to bring in utilities, perhaps structures. And I think at one time you'd mentioned there's a rural economic development grants available out there. Would that be something that we would want to look at if the FAA does allow us to?
Yep.
Or are there other funds that we can pursue to?
That would be a wonderful ready grant, Rural Economic Development Initiative. And we just received $5 million. The governor signs the bill tomorrow, and it's going into the ready fund. We had a grant round open, because we always have $700,000 in that fund. We had a grant round that opened and closed way back in March from April. And we're just about, in fact, I'm writing up my pro cons tomorrow. We're just about to go into discussions on that, and we'll have the $5 million in hand. So we have had $700,000. We've got grants in the amount of $1.7 million. We'll have to go through them and see if they can be funded. My point is there's still a balance left in that $5 million. Has to be spent, has to be allocated by next year. So so there will be another call for Ready Grants. I just don't know when that will be. That would be a great project for Ready.
And what kind of restrictions are there, what those funds can be used for, those grants can be used for?
Construction. They can be used for planning documents. They can also be used in certain cases for economic development plans or studies or programs.
What about purchasing property, adjacent property to like an airport?
I don't know if it would cover acquisition or not, but it okay. might. I'll have to look into that. I haven't right. seen one that had acquisition, but it would do all of the planning for your infrastructure for sure. The one ready grant that was received locally is the city applied to do, for La Porta, all of the city-owned utility infrastructure that had to be put into La Porta. So all the power, gas, water, and sewer mains, not the private sector connections, but the city-owned. And Ready gave $100,000 to do all of that design and engineering work. But it can be construction as well.
And in the construction, Tara, do you know if it also, it would include the infrastructure such as perhaps water lines and gas lines?
Yeah, so if your first step would be, I don't know about acquisition, but let's just say it's acquired. You could come in and plan out the entire industrial park. You could plan out all the utilities that would be needed. Then you go out and you get private sector partners to come in, and you come back and say, here are one, two, three private sector partners. but the county needs to bring the infrastructure to them. It's our responsibility to bring the infrastructure to them. They're going to do all the private sector connections. They're going to pay 40% of what it needs to bring that infrastructure in, but we need DOLA's help with 50% and we'll take in the last 10. Something like that would be an example. Once you have tenants or an anchor tenant at least, then it gets really attractive because you're like saying, you could have this, but for being able to provide this road, this water line, this sewer main, this lift station, you know,
and then I would,
power, but.
And then I would get back to a conversation with the city to see if they have the water capacity to do something like that, or if they have to go out and purchase more water rights or some further conversation.
Through acquisition, if there's water rights associated with the property.
Southside Ditch.
Yeah.
16 shares.
The city has certain abilities to wire water if they're annexing the property, so you might want to look into that legal. I don't know that the city's ever done that when they annex, but they do by state statute have an ability for annexing your property to say you have to dedicate the water to the use of the land. So.
Well, and you know, one of the presentations at CCI was done with CDOT, the aeronautics division. The incredible opportunity sharing with Mr. Dorican that the city of Alamosa has now increased just by the airport the capacity to attract the industrial park, the development. And I mean, I think we have a dual here in the same town with open spaces.
Yeah, an airport and a railroad spur. We've got everything we need.
And I-25.
Mm-hmm. And then you really target small manufacturing.
Sure.
And then you raise your AMI.
Who at OEDIT,
right?
Good point.
Yeah. Who at OEDIT is actually your contact person? You know, just to, I'm sure they have this type of a rural initiative type thing to at least have a conversation with them.
So I generally work with Jeff Kraft. He's the deputy director of OEDIT. Just received that promotion. He's been in charge of business incentives for years. And he's just promoted to deputy director. So I really try at least, if I'm talking specifically about the OEDIT stuff in general, like this laundry list I have today, I'll call Jeff. Spend 10 minutes on the phone with him. It's not that easy to get a hold of him, but the brain, he knows everything. He'll tell me where to go to get the specifics from all the different things. So I'll go to all those stuff.
Okay. Any questions from anybody on the call for Ms. Marshall? Sure, thank you so much for being here today with us, and thanks everybody for being on the call. Appreciate you all being here, and thank you for your time.
Sure. I will follow up with Mr. Gordon Camp on A, Zoom call, and B, the potential supper.
Thanks, Chair. Mr. Felix Lopez?
Yes.
Mr. Hass?
Yes.
Mr. Ruiz Lopez?
Yes.
Yes. Jeff's contact information. Jeff's
contact. Yep.
You can text
it. I will. I'll have the text in.
Yeah, that's fine.
So you had a brain today.
I took the job on the contention I didn't have to.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't want to go. All right.